All right, welcome to Wednesday evening Bible study as we're going through the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ, and we are in chapter 18, only 22 chapters in Revelation, so everything is coming to a head here. We're going to be talking about the fall of Babylon the Great. Now, before we get started, there are two Babylons. There's the religious Babylon that we talked about in chapter 17, and then there's the political Babylon. Some people call it the financial Babylon, which is a separate Babylon. So with that in mind, we'll get started. I'm not going to read, it's a long chapter, I'm not going to read all the way through and then come back. I'm just going to start out reading one verse at a time and discussing. After these things, after these things, you would say, well, after what? After the religious Babylon has been destroyed. Remember, it was destroyed when the Antichrist came to power and wanted to be worshipped and everything. He needed to get rid of the religious Babylon. He didn't want anybody else to be worshipped but him. And so the kings of the earth turned against, they were with Antichrist, they turned against this religious Babylon, which was all these different denominations, basically of people who had missed the rapture. These people weren't true Christians. All these different denominations had gone together to make one big, what we call apostate church. Apostate simply means not genuine, corrupted, that sort of thing. So after these things means after this has happened. So he says, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Right now I'm reading a book by Jonathan Cahn called The Return of the Gods. And basically it's all about how Israel, when God was leading them, when they went into the promised land, you know, we talked about the book of Judges where it's a cyclical type of thing where when they're being blessed and everything's going great, they forget God and they start worshiping other gods. And then God would let somebody come in and take over, and then they would cry out for mercy, and then he would send a judge or a deliverer, and then they would vanquish the enemy. And then they would start having good times again, and then the same thing would happen. Well, there were certain gods that they worshipped. And this went on, not only Israel, but all the countries in the world at that time. They all had their different gods that they worshipped. And these gods were actually inhabited, demons would inhabit them. And most of the countries of the world would sacrifice their children, because they felt that that would bring them prosperity and all this sort of thing. Anyway, when Jesus came and the Christian church was started and they started spreading the gospel, it was driving these gods out of the way. It was moving them out, and the gods and the demons were cast aside because people weren't worshiping anymore. Now they were worshiping God. So what he's saying is in this book, that not only us, we as a country and countries in Europe, we've cast out God. You know, we took prayer out of schools in 1960. We took Bible out of schools in like 61. And we had that turbulent 60s. And we had 73 when the abortion ruling and all this sort of thing has happened to our country. And we don't hardly no longer even recognize as a Christian nation. But the first thing happened was we kicked God out. And when you kick God out, the other gods, little g's, come in. Mm-hmm. And it's like Jesus said in that one scripture where he said this man, he had been had an exorcism done and that this devil was driven out of him. But then when the demon came back, he saw that his house was swept clean and he brought in, I think it was seven more. Mm-hmm. And basically that's what's happened. And that's what this is talking about, a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. There you see that bird. Whenever we see that used symbolically, it's always evil in the Bible. Always evil. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. So this talks about a country or a city or some kind of organization that has become global, and they have maybe a lot of trade, a lot of financial things going on. But in addition to just exporting their money, they're also exporting their morality or lack of. We give aid to a lot of countries, but sometimes we'll tell them, you know, we don't like your stand on homosexuality. You're too strict. We don't like your stand on abortion. We don't believe that. If you don't change your ways of thinking about these things, we're going to not give you any more aid. And so not good. And this has been going on for decades. It's not a political thing. It's just what we as a country have chosen to do. So this is something we look at here. It's saying they have committed fornication with her. And fornication in the Bible doesn't always mean adultery or promiscuity. Sometimes it's a metaphor for worshiping other gods. God is a jealous God. Okay, we see that a lot of times. He uses it. You've committed adultery. That means they were worshiping other gods. He says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. Now, this is interesting because we're going to find out later on this chapter what happens to this city or this country, whoever this Babylon is. Who's he talking to here? He's talking to the people that have made it through so far. They've gotten saved after the rapture, and they haven't been martyred, and they're still alive, and they're holding secret meetings, and they're trying to stay away from the authorities, trying to make it through to the end of the tribulation. He's saying, come out of her, kind of like, you know, when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, and God allowed Lot, his wife, to come out of Sodom before he destroyed it. He's saying, you better come out of her because something bad is going to happen to that country. He says, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. In other words, get out of that country. Don't let her influence you anymore. And also, you don't want to get caught when judgment comes upon this country. Mm-hmm. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. This happened all in Moses' time. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. In other words, everything that she has reaped, she is going to sow. And she's going to sow a double portion.
I was reading this. I thought it sounded like America.
Exactly. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen and am no widow and will not see sorrow. Another way of looking at that is she is saying, I am mighty and haughty and everything. I am no widow. And widows basically at that time were poor and destitute and all this. I will not see sorrow. In other words, I won't even look at it. Reminds you of Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. You know, I'm not concerned about the poor. I'm just concerned about myself, and I'm doing great. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now, this gets really interesting. It says, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her, because she made them rich too. Mm-hmm. When they see the smoke of her burning, and look at this, standing at a distance for fear of her torment. We're going to see that like three times. Mm-hmm. These people standing at a distance for fear of her torment. Could that be radioactivity? From a great nuclear explosion? Mm-hmm. At a distance, they don't want to get close. Saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn for her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, before I get into all this merchandise, I want to mention another thing about this timing. We feel that the religious Babylon was very active the first half of the tribulation. And of course, in the mid-tribulation, that's when Satan comes and embodies the Antichrist and he demands to be worshipped. And that's probably when the kings of the earth turn against the religious Babylon, sometime maybe shortly after the mid-tribulation period. And then this happens after that. Now, I can't see these merchants weeping and being sorry about financial situations if the bowl judgments have already hit. Because if the bowl judgments have hit, that would be their last concern. They're just wanting to live another day.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
So I think this happens, even though it's the 18th chapter, I think this happens before the bowl judgments, and maybe even before some of the trumpet judgments. I don't know. Okay, now we're going to have a long list of this merchandise. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple, silk and scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, and cinnamon and increase, fragrant oil and frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and bodies and souls of men. And men, souls can be bought, for sure. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you. And all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, who became rich by her, will stand at a distance for fear of her torment. They don't want what she got, weeping and wailing and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, and we have a great standard of living here." Remember when Michael Pagan guy said the first time he went into Walmart, like, wow. And then he told us that the rich people in the Philippines got to go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Right? He says, "For in 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who travel by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?'" So again, these shipmasters, if the bowl judgment had already occurred and the entire sea became polluted with blood and all the sea creatures were dead and floating on the surface, I don't think they would be too concerned about what happened to this financial Babylon. So to me, this has to happen before these terrible judgments hit, or they wouldn't even be concerned about it. It says, "They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city to which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate.'" Now, let me finish this one. "Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her." Now, a lot of good theologians still feel that what this Babylon they're talking about here is the literal Babylon that's in Iraq that has been rebuilt. I think they're still possibly rebuilding it. But I personally can't see it, because I can't see that Babylon being rebuilt and established and in a super short period of time become the financial leader of the world, to where they are affecting the entire world with what they do. I can't see that. I mean, right now we definitely fill that role. And if they're insisting that it's still going to be that Babylon, then that's going to take a while. But the same scholars that say that's Babylon, the same ones say the rapture could occur any time. See what I'm saying? They're kind of contradicting themselves, because if the actual Babylon, what we call Babylon, is actually this Babylon, it's going to take a while for them to have this much riches and influence and effect on the world. So to think that the rapture could occur anytime, that speeds everything up. They just don't have time to do that. That's why I don't think it's a literal Babylon. And that's why.
Now, can't you see what... You know, I know all this, you know, blah, blah, blah. But see, you can put this, we can put this to ourselves today.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I think, I agree with Jack Van Impe on this one. I don't always agree with him, but I definitely agree with him on his interpretation of this chapter. But we'll go on.
Well, what I'm talking about, though, yeah. Pastor, I think you misunderstood me. That, you know, it's talking about Babylon here, and you know, and all their riches and all that stuff, and you know, and we can get caught up as a people here with all of our luxuries and all exactly. of our riches, and all, you know, and it can be taken away from us just that quickly.
Exactly. That's basically what I'm saying. Yeah. Is I think it's our country. Mm-hmm. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. Okay, that could be what? A missile? It could be a nuclear missile, you know, or it could be several. Mm-hmm. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. No craftsman of any craft shall be found in you anymore. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. We're talking complete destruction. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. Everything's down. No electricity, nothing. Mm-hmm. And the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For by your sorcery all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. And now I want to read a little section here at the end of Jack Van Impe's commentary. He says, some great scholars believe that America and Babylon the Great are one and the same because of the information presented in the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah, plus the words of John the Baptist, John the Seer in Revelation. He says, consider the following. Isaiah 18, 1 and 2 depicts a latter-day nation that amazingly resembles modern America. This nation has the insignia of wings, similar to our national emblem, the bald eagle. It is a land that is beyond the sea from Israel. It is scattered and peeled, meaning it is widely spread out or has great land areas. It is meted out or staked out by acres and miles, and is a land whose rivers are spoiled or polluted. Likewise, in chapters 50 and 51 of the book bearing his name, Jeremiah presents conclusive evidence that a latter-day Babylon, far different from and superior to ancient Babylon, will spring into existence. As one studies Jeremiah's remarks, he is amazed to see that modern America seems to be the fulfillment of these predictions because, number one, she is a nation of mingled people. That's Jeremiah 50, 37. Number two, she is a nation whose mother, that would be Great Britain, shall be sorely confounded and who coexists with the mother at the hour of her decline. And number three, she dwells upon many waters. Number four, her wealth plagues the nations of the earth to the point of insane jealousy. Number five, her space exploits are so utterly fantastic that she tries to mount up to heaven. That's 51:53, Jeremiah 51:53. And number six, she exists when Israel is back in her land. So evidently he believes that too. So some scholars believe that, others say no, it's the real Babylon. We'll find out one of these days, but it is interesting. Right now, the way things are going right now, with the influence our country has, I would have to say it's the United States of America, and it looks like what happens to her, and of course this is after we're gone, so the Christians have been raptured out a few years before. The Christians, the people that have gotten saved in the meantime that haven't been martyred, he's saying, get out of America, get out any way you can, for two reasons, because these people can influence you, and you know you can turn your back on the Lord. And the second reason is, you better get out before I judge her, you know. So, all right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much. There's so much going on in this chapter, Lord, and we're just trying to let the Holy Spirit lead, and we're trying to keep our minds open. We know that some scholars want to believe that the real Babylon of today is going to be this Babylon, and perhaps, Lord, it's because their patriotism, perhaps they just can't believe that it could be our country involved in something like that. But we need to keep an open mind, and we need to think of like, what if? And we need to just be open and let your Spirit lead us, Lord. And Just help us to understand, even if it is not American, if it's a European country or something, help us to be able to see the fig leaves, so to speak. Help us to be able to see things that are going on. Help us to be able to make good, interesting conversation with those who may be lost, who may be wondering about what's going on right now and what the future holds. Help us to be able to speak with them with love and compassion. In Jesus' name, amen.